Any little part of involving your children and everyone at home is part of learning, and we don't have to focus solely on hours and hours of academic work. And that's where I find my profession so important, because I'm working with social emotional learning, and that's truly what's important right now, is making sure these kids feel safe at home, they feel loved, so that they can grow when they need to come back to school.
Today, I have a very special guest on the podcast. She is somebody who I've known for a very long time, and she has a massive heart, and she always has. She's a very giving person. She's a very caring woman, and it's been really cool to watch her grow into her career. I've been fortunate and blessed enough to do her hair and keep up on what's going on with her. So in this podcast, we're going to jump right into her speaking and introducing herself and what she does. She is a teacher, and obviously teachers are being deeply affected by the quarantine and by COVID-19. So I wanted to gain a little bit of more insight into the world of teaching right now and how kids and the teachers are being affected. So without further ado, this is In the Back Seat, and this is Miss Emily, a teacher.
So my name's Emily, mm-hmm. and I'm a teacher in Maryland, actually, and I've been teaching for 4 years, going on my fifth year next year, and I actually taught in the span of 4 years. I've taught kindergarten and first grade, and my new role this year is teaching character education, which is also known as social emotional learning, and I'm teaching grades kindergarten through fifth, so I have about 27 different classes I see a week, and for 50 minutes a week, and I teach them all about social emotional learning. Wow. So that's just a little about myself. I have a master's in counseling. My undergrad is in early childhood education and special education, so I'm kind of using all different degrees to help me with my position right now.
That's so cool. It's kind of crazy, to be honest, that like we've had enough time in life to go by that you have all this experience and you're able to use it in the way that you do. It's just really like neat to see from a like friend perspective.
I know my classroom experience has really helped me just pave the way of how to incorporate social emotional learning and behavior management strategies, and how you teach kids in different ways and how you reach them. It's just like you need so much experience in order to become better at what you do.
Mm-hmm. And what did you said social and emotional what in the beginning?
It's called social emotional learning. Okay. It's like a special area class. So say a student goes to gym once a week, or goes to art or music once a week, they come to me once a week, but instead of learning music or art or going to the library, they learn character education, which is all relationship building, self-awareness, self-management, really anything social emotional related I touch base on.
So it's very like psychological.
Yeah, which also has been so amazing, because this is my first year teaching this and seeing all the different things going on in the world. It just goes to show how important social emotional learning is, mm-hmm. and how important it is. And not only academics is important, but we have to realize that we need to be able to communicate and talk with each other and work together and have all these skills that people often don't even realize that we have.
Yeah, and you mean like on a, like just people in life, like way, not even just kids, like us right now, like adults.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think from when I grew up and from when how these kids are growing up now, you know, a lot of them are spending a lot of time in front of a tablet. And, you know, a lot of parenting styles have changed and have been different. So a lot of these kids are coming with different social emotional skills than what I have, and different ways of communicating, because they communicate through text and through the phone. And some of them often lack different skills to be able to communicate socially and have friendships and work together and things like that. So it's really interesting to see and help.
At some point, though, is it like, and not to get off topic, it's not even on topic, but like, at some point, is it kind of like that is the way that things are going? So how do you adapt and like commute, and how do you learn to communicate in the way that they're learning to communicate? Like, I feel like you can't fight what's going on.
yeah, that's definitely the way things are going, and more inventions and technologies are coming, and we're in a technology-rich environment right now. These kids are very tech-savvy. You know, they're having interactions with people that you can't even see their faces. You are interacting through emojis and pictures and gifts, those, and it's a completely different way to communicate. Right. So not only can we learn from these kids, but we can also, they can learn from us.
Right. But, like, take the best of both of the worlds.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, leads perfectly into, that's glass half full thinking of how, you know, technological things are right now with transitioning teaching to completely online. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that being, obviously, I think that would be helpful, but do you see, like, families and things, and particularly where you're teaching, like, have challenges bringing that into the home? Are you able to connect with all of your students still, or have you, like, lost touch with some of them, or, like, how's that going on?
So that's obviously been some of the hardest parts of this. You know, it's so quick of a change that the county and everyone, all of us, are still trying to figure out how to actually do this, you know? Mm-hmm. We're trying to figure out, for what really shows is the socioeconomic difference between different schools and different areas, because, you know, some schools, every kid has a tablet, every kid has a device, every kid has a laptop, every kid has a cell phone, every kid has internet at home. But then you look at other areas and you see that, you know, they don't have any internet. They don't even have a cell phone or a tablet that they can go on and access these lessons and videos being pushed out by schools. They can't even access them. Right. So you have to think of a way to reach the kids who can't just do online learning.
Right.
And the way that they're trying to do that is they're trying to send out packets to families, but then sometimes it gets lost in the mail, or have the address on file, which makes it really complicated. And then people feel like, well, the kids that are getting internet access and being able to access these lessons are kind of have a higher up than the kids who are just getting the packets. It's not fair. They don't get to meet face to face through computer with their teacher. They don't get to have these meetings with their teacher. And it kind of creates barriers for kids and can be equitable and reach everyone.
Right. And, like, I guess, I mean, I would think that it would go towards some type of, I don't know, program or something where you could meet with these kids. Like, they have to have, I don't know, this is all, like, uncharted water, obviously, for you guys, too. So it's, like, no one really probably has the answers. And that goes across every industry. Like, I talked to Alyssa about being an emergency room nurse. And, like, they're doing what they can do to make the best of what's going on for them, too. Like, no one has these answers. Me as a hair salon owner, I have people that are asking me, what's the protocol from when we open up? I'm like, none of us, we don't know these things yet. Like, they're unknown. So,
and I think that's really important. As an educator, we're always taught to think on the spot and be supportive and be there for each other. And I think that's where that really comes into play, because we need to have an open mind and just remember that everybody is learning in this time, and we're all trying to problem solve on a daily basis to make things better and get things better. And people just have to remember that, because if we're just negative and complaining about all of this, well, this is taking up so much time, then it's not going to get us anywhere. It's not going to make us better.
Right. And I mean, that goes with anything. And I battle with myself with being like, so with putting this podcast out and doing what I'm doing, I'm like, am I just being ignorant to the troubles that are going on? Like, I'm not trying to minimize the negative or the, you know, the impact that all of this is having. But if you are just adamant about focusing on the glass half full, about the possibility, about the options ahead, and, like, make something happen, it's so exponentially better for everyone than harping on what's, you know, the negative or the impact and everything that's going on, if that makes sense. You know, like, you have to be a results-oriented, like, problem solver right now and creative right now.
Yeah. And I honestly think that the schools and the teachers and the principals have been doing a really good job during this time to really just focus on how are our families doing? How are our kids doing? We were told the first week of learning to just completely reach out to families and not ask about schoolwork, but ask, you know, how are you and how are you doing? And do you need anything? And what can you do? What can we do to support you? Because, you know, we have so many parents calling in and being so worried and panicking and having anxiety and having worrying because it's like, I have to work myself from home and I can't get these kids to do what they need to do. But what you need to focus on is your own family's health, your mental health. And you need to just focus if maybe they get half hour of work done, or if maybe they get gym class done, that is counting as learning. Any little part of involving your children and everyone at home is part of learning, and we don't have to focus solely on hours and hours of academic work. And that's where I find my profession so important, because I'm working with social emotional learning, and that's truly what's important right now, is making sure these kids feel safe at home, they feel loved, so that they can grow when they need to come back to school.
Right, right. And that goes into, like, I've seen so many moms, and I plan on having a mom on this podcast because I am not a mother, so I don't have that perspective. But I think there has to be moms out there that are putting this immense pressure on themselves to, like, keep up what their kids need to be doing. But like you just said, if they're getting, even just showing them love and attention right now when they could be focusing on the anxiety that this does instill and this brings up, like, of course, the state of the world will bring heightened anxiety. I've been feeling it for the last 2 weeks of my life and trying to learn how to deal with it. But as long as they're, yeah, giving love and attention and focusing on mental health right now, I would imagine that would do so much more than making sure they got, like, their math homework done.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I've had my cousins reach out to me who have children. I've had friends reach out to me who have children. Like, what should I be doing? How long should I be doing? And I'm like, you know, just worry about them being okay, and worry about yourself, and worry that they're getting along and cleaning up and doing these things that they need to learn to have a daily life, you know? And if you put in a little bit of addition and subtraction in there, hey, that's great. If you focus on spelling some things, hey, that's all I do. If you read a book, focus on your health and being okay during this time. And the county is really pushing out, the principals are pushing that out, and every teacher is telling that to the families. And, you know, some families are really supportive, and then some families are like, I need more. And we're willing to do more too. We're willing to push out more and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, they need more, so, like, schoolwork for their kids?
Yeah, yeah. Which is really hard, because then it pulls into special education, and how are we going to reach those children who are so hands-on learning and face-to-face, and how are we going to provide them with the supports that they need, which they're all still trying to figure out.
So do you see, I mean, it's probably maybe early to see how this evolves for the schooling and for being a teacher, but do you see the internet and remote learning being a bigger part of the future of education?
I feel like remote learning was already becoming really popular in higher up in colleges and in high schools. And I think with this happening, I think it up for people to have that option, people who might be sick, or it's just not a good idea for them, or homeschooling, maybe parents decide that they really like all this home time, maybe they want homeschooling, they can have an online option. I think that's really awesome. And I also truly believe that when we have school closings in the future, so say a snow day, or, you know, the building has a leak in it or something, we can now from home still and teach online, because the kids are already learning it. It should be something that's automatic and a great alternative to have in case things like this happen.
Right. Totally.
And before, you know, we didn't really have that. It was kind of the what if, and we didn't have anything planned. But I think having this experience and having these kinds of learnings from teachers how to teach online and kids learning how to learn online, I think it will become more prevalent in the future, to be honest.
Yeah, I would see that. I definitely can't imagine it going, like, swinging immediately to 180 and then everybody's online. You know, people are extremists out here, so they're like, school's gonna be online now, this is gonna happen this way. I'm like, it's not just gonna flip turn entirely.
No. Yeah. Because if you think about it, we say there's a class of like 25 students per class. Right now for online learning, there's only a turnout about half or less than that in some of the lower area income schools. And then in the higher income area schools, there's still a lot of students absent on these online class meetings. So it's just not the same as face-to-face. And the different ways that teachers teach, we don't just teach by lecturing, we don't just teach by handing out a worksheet. So face-to-face learning is not going to just go away after this. It's something that we truly need in society, mm-hmm. I believe.
And also, to go back to what I was just thinking of, like, you know, some higher tax bracket areas and stuff where every kid has a laptop, every kid has a tablet, all of that. Like, if and when the school and education starts to lean towards, like, online and remote education, it will highlight the imbalance of, you know, areas that kids don't even have internet and don't have access to these things. So it's like, there can't be forgotten kids along the way. So, of course, face-to-face uh-huh. learning is going to have a place, and where your tax dollars go towards educating the youth is immensely, hugely important. So, I hear you, for sure. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. How have you been on, like, a personal, you know, emotional level?
You know, I've gone through phases. At first, I'm going to say it like it is. Every teacher's like, oh my gosh, a break. I'm stressed. I'm tired. I'm overworked. I'm doing all these things. I can finally sit at home and do nothing. So for me personally, at the beginning of all this, you know, I wasn't at the, oh, this is so sad, I'm in a grief mode. I was in, wow, this is great. Like, mm-hmm. I can relax. Finally, I can sleep. I can sleep a mile. I can sleep without worrying and stressing. And so I really relaxed the first week, but then as things started to settle in, you know, I live right across the street from a school, so the bell would ring and you hear just silence over there and no children, and it starts to really set in. And then you think about all the kids and their families, and, you know, I'm in a very low social economic status community, so, you know, our families rely on the school and the community a lot, which is awesome. I love it. But then you worry, like, do they have food? Mm-hmm. Do they have what they need? And then you worry about, are they okay? Are they in unsafe environments? Are these kids going through things that I can't help them with? And then you start to get really sad and you start to go through that grief. And then more comes at you. It's like, okay, now you have to learn this whole new way of teaching. And I had to spend a full week learning how to teach online and navigate the online system. And then you go through stress. So you're grieving, mm-hmm. and then you get stressed because it's like, oh, now I have to do all this and I don't want to fail at it, you know?
Right.
So it's been I would say it's a roller coaster of emotions. I'm mm-hmm. starting to finally going into, I think, the second week of online learning for me. I'm starting to get the swing of things, mm-hmm. but then in the back of your head, it's like, are we going back to school? When am I going to get to see the kids? What about the fifth graders who are going on to middle school? Will I ever get to see them again? You know, mm-hmm. and you have all the questions that are just unanswered, you know?
Right. I think, too, for me, like, on a very different level and less impactful, in my own opinion, but for me, the key has been, because I've been on my own emotional journey, without a doubt, with owning a business and being shut down and being unemployed and, like, having all these unknowns. It's just, and the reason why I'm really doing a podcast, too, at the moment is so I can focus out on something else and focus out on other people. So, like, as you're getting in the swing of things and you can focus out as much as you can on others, it'll help to, you know, give you a sense of purpose and impact in what you're doing, which I think will help that.
That's also a really good point, because when we were in a 2-week period of doing absolutely, like, nothing, and you're like, oh, man, I don't feel like I'm making an impact. Like, what can I do? Can I YouTube myself reading books? Can I send letters to my kids? Like, what can you just want to feel like you can do something so you can impact and be there for people. Mm-hmm. So now that I feel like I'm teaching online and reaching out and seeing those kids through video chats and things like that, I feel like I'm actually doing my part and I'm doing something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's important, and if you are unemployed or not doing anything, to find something that makes you happy and find something that you like doing so that you don't crazy I sound.
I know. I actually, so I have to share, I told you before, obviously, but everyone has their own experience with, like, the word God, so I'm doing this podcast and I'm using the G word a lot because I understand there's a lot underneath that word for a lot of different people. And you've known me my whole life, so you know I haven't always, like, walked in the ways of Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
but I actually read this morning. I like to read the Bible. It's hard for me to understand. I'm learning it. I don't identify with, like, a church necessarily or any particular religion. And I'd like to get into other faiths after this, like, learn about their books and all that. But there was a part today that was talking about teaching the youth and teaching children is one of the biggest, like, blessings and things that you get to do as a person, and that everybody should seek to be able to do that. So I think it's really cool that you're directly doing that. With talking about emotional intelligence and, like, how to deal with emotions, that's just, if you sum up God in a very casual, cool way, that's exactly what you're doing. Like, learning how to deal with negative emotions that impact children negatively is teaching them about how to walk in the ways of God in the way that is love at the end of the day, if you simplify things. So you're like a walking disciple, Em.
I mean, they say faith over fear and all these things, and when you have these strong emotions and emotions like anxiety and fear, you have to learn how to deal with them, and a way to deal with them is finding someone who can help. And that's people, to support anyone. And, you know, through this whole time now with the church being online, I must say, like, I'm attending church more than my family life where I have to actually go to church, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm actually also really finding my way through God as well recently, and really, really amping up my faith because it really has shown me a really positive light, actually.
Mm-hmm. And that's what bottom line for me is the same thing. Is, like, I'm not attempting to push a life of faith on anybody. I'm just, like, I feel called to at least speak about how much it's impacted me in a positive way and impacted my level of joy, my level of, like, comfortability and peace today than ever before. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, it's an option. It's an option for everybody. But, again, I'm not trying to be like, you need to do this or you need to live this way or pass judgment on anybody for anywhere they're at, because I do think it's the most ultimate personal experience there is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? And I feel like what's really important about faith is finding somewhere where finding people and somewhere or something that you're comfortable with in order to open up and talk about it. So Presbyterian, I went to Sunday school, I got baptized, I had communion, all those things, and I grew up my whole life, every Sunday we went to church, but did I feel like I really believed, and did I feel like it really impacted me? Not really. I thought it was more through the church every Sunday.
Wait, Em, you broke up a lot there. Can you say that part again? You went to church every Sunday, I heard.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I was raised Presbyterian, and I went to church every Sunday, and, you know, I was in the choir, I was a deacon, I was an usher, I was involved in the church, and my whole family was involved in the church, but, you know, I don't feel like it really impacted me much back then, because more of being friends, because I was just going to church every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then growing up and moving away from home and not being able to go to that, if there was a period that there was just nothing. They were praying for me. There was no God. There was nothing. And, you know, I did miss it. And so then I met a partner that I'm with right now, my boyfriend, and he's very into his faith. And he kind of brought me back to going into my faith. And we found a church around here in Maryland. And it's honestly, it's not like a Presbyterian. You wouldn't go, oh, I'm going to this Presbyterian church, or I'm going to this Catholic church, or the synagogue. It's honestly just a church of all denominations. Mm-hmm. And every single time I either tune in or go to that church, I have something powerful. I leave with an empowerful message from God or about God, and it just makes me want to be a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when you find that and you find being comfortable and feel like you're getting something out of it, I feel like then you finally, something switches and you just...
Like surrender and accept. Wanna,
Yeah.
I definitely have gone through such a wave of emotions about religion and faith. I grew up in a Catholic environment. I went to Catholic school.
And
Yeah. And then high school, I rebelled hard. Like, I was big time atheist. I, like, didn't want to believe in anything. I've just resented it all, to be honest, because I went through those years of education. I took away a lot of great things from that, having, you know, high moral code and all of those things. But I resented it over anything. So then I was big time, like, I'm atheist. And then I really got into being, like, 20, 21 and, like, drinking a lot and partying and smoking a ton of weed and meditating a lot and getting into yoga. And then it became about, like, the universe. But I was way too scared. I was way too scared to say the G word. Like, I had so much fear of God in me. I literally could not conceptualize, like, surrendering to God. And I spent, you know, years being like, universe, spirit, and knowing there was something more, but running so far, like, and hard away as much as I could. But you can't run at the end of the day. So God's love is, like, overwhelming and a beautiful thing. And at some point, it definitely was like a switch of just knowing and surrendering and, like, weeping, like, many times. And kind of now I just feel free to, like, continue to discover. I don't feel any type of pressure. I don't feel any type of shame to talk about things. I'm just like, yeah, this is me, and this is what I'm learning, and it is what it is.
Yeah, it's a learning process, and it goes back to, like, we're always learning. We're learning human beings. We always want to learn. We want to find something new, and it's just incredible to see. And honestly, going back to teaching and everything, you know, an example of God and love and everything is just right within a child. Like, they're so innocent and loving and caring, and they don't care about anything but each other. And they care about many things, but, you know, it's just such a great experience if you've ever been around a whole group of children and just hear their conversations and the way they talk and everything. It's truly amazing, and that's why I love going to work every day, and that's why I do miss going to work every day, because you have these amazing interactions with these children, and you can't even repeat all the things you hear that they say, but if you could, you would just see the world in a whole new light. So I just go back to that all the time.
I've never really been around, like, a group of kids like that, and I can imagine it's something special for sure.
Yeah, and kids are so resilient, so they can go through so much trauma and so many things, and you'd be surprised how resilient they are and just how amazing, you know? You meet with them online, and you're like, okay, how are you feeling today, to check in, and it's like, what have you been doing? And you're like, I feel happy. Like, I'm doing good. My sibling's right behind me. And, like, they're just so, it's so loving, and it really brings you up. So sometimes when I'm down, like, I think about the kids, or I get excited. My world revolves around being there for the kids and making them better and growing them to be a great person, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think too, like, what's really special for me about, like, growing in my faith, and I threw myself into all these different types of therapies and stuff to, like, heal that inner child and to, like, love that inner child, because we were those kids before, you know, and we had that emotional intelligence and that ability to just love without boundaries and, like, be accepting of others and all of that, and knowing that that's innately in you as well is such a key to, like, the gift of all of this stuff. It's all good.
Yeah.
Well,
good to think about.
Yes, I love this. I absolutely love this conversation.
I know. One of my biggest things I like doing in my profession is reflecting on my profession, reflecting on my teaching, and reflecting on everything, and then growing and learning. So, like, I love talking about it. I always love talking about my profession. If anybody asks me, I can go on rants about it.
Yeah.
And then I also love learning. Like, I'm taking 2-3 credit grad courses right now. And one's about anxiety in children, and I just love learning. So
awesome. You have such an impactful, you have such an impactful career. I love it for you. It's perfect for you.
I feel like it was in my blood. You know, going back to God, I feel like God put me here to be a teacher. I grew up as a kid wanting to be a teacher. My grandfather was a principal in the Philadelphia schools. My grandma was a teacher in the Philadelphia schools. Like, mm-hmm. I was born here mm-hmm. to be this.
Ooh, I have the goosies. That spirit moving through
I really
me.
Feel that.
No,
I really do.
I know. Me too. 1,000%.
You know, I'm very humble, too, because many people are like, oh, Em, you're so great at what you do. Like, da, da, da. It's like, yeah, you know, and I don't even see it as something being hard. It just comes naturally because I truly feel like I was meant here to do this.
Mm-hmm. And you have a giving nature. You always have. You have a huge heart, and that's really what you need at the center of passion always is love.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. God is love.
Yes. Yes.
Well, thanks, Em. I'm so happy that you got on here, and I feel like
I'm so glad you thought of me.
Oh, my God, of course. I couldn't have think of anybody better for this.
So, thanks.
Of course. I will, I'll talk to you soon, okay? I'll call you about the hair products, okay?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, girl.
Okay.
Be well. All right. God bless.
Bye.
Bye. So that was Miss Emily, and I just want to close this out by saying, every teacher out there, I just want to extend my gratitude and my heart and my soul and my thanks to you. You guys are angels on earth, and you are constantly doing God's work. You were doing God's work before this pandemic. You're doing it now, and you'll be doing it after. So I cannot thank you enough for living a life that is so beautiful, so purposeful, and so impactful. You guys are the very best. Stay healthy and stay hopeful for a future that has people really appreciating what you guys do.